There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that.
This is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile, live from the Mobile Boat Show at the Guides Corner. That's the name for our booth, and the reason why, we've got guides aplenty here from the inshore world, also offshore saltwater fishing, freshwater world. My friends from the National Wild Turkey Federation are here. Actually, tomorrow morning, I bet you we can talk some of these folks into doing a little turkey calling demonstration and a little lesson or two. And I say tomorrow because tomorrow our special two-hour FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors, and we do that show. Normally, Mike Ward and I do that show at 7 on Saturday mornings, right before Prep Sports Report, but really just once, we're doing it now. This will be twice a year. Usually it used to be just once a year. Twice a year we do the show from 10 to noon, and we're going to be doing it tomorrow, 10 to noon, here from the Mobile Boat Show. Hours today open until 8 o'clock tonight, and then tomorrow open from 10 in the morning to 8 at night, and on Sunday from 10 in the morning to 5 in the evening. People were asking about ticket prices. Tickets are just $10 for adults. Children 15 and under free, plus a $2 discount for military. And you can go online to their website, gulfcoastshows.com, and get your tickets online, but it's pretty easy. You were upstairs not long ago, and things are moving pretty quickly up at the main ticket window. As people, I'll tell you right now, there's something to be said for coming in here on day one, and maybe that's more for, smaller items, different electronics, marine electronics, trolling motor, lure manufacturers, clothing manufacturers. You can see I walked in before the show even started, and I said, okay, I need that, and that, like t-shirts. They got cool stuff you don't see anywhere else except here at the boat show.
Yeah, I was going to bring that up, that there's some really cool swag that you can buy upstairs that is so cool. I'm not sure if it'll last past today or tomorrow, so you want to get up here quickly. And then we, of course, have some free swag at our booth. And the floating keychains are going fast.
You know, I have yet to take a picture of those for the social media, so we'll have a display. I'll get it maybe during one of our breaks here coming up in just a little bit. I'll take a picture of the floating keychain. It says FM Talk 106.5, and it floats. I think I described it pretty well. And you could, but we've got those here. We're going to hook you up with them. Come by. We're probably going to, just come by and say, hey, I'm looking for one of those keychains, and we'll hook you up, because there's so many people here that we're going to save them for folks that listen to us on FM Talk 106.5.
I think that's fair.
Is that fair enough? All right. A couple other things we're watching here. And by the way, coming back in just a little bit, our buddy Austin Key is going to join us. Austin's with Arrow Exterminators. I want to talk to him about termites. I hate to ruin as we're talking boats. And by the way, Stouter Boats is upstairs. Wooden boat manufacturer. Most of this is fiberglass, of course. Some boats still have some wooden wood in the inside. Of course, the outside fiberglass. But we are going to mention termites even while we're here at the boat show, because it's obviously a big deal for us in this neck of the woods. I think they have said that Mobile has the highest density of termite issues of any city per capita in the United States.
Yes, we do.
And and we're sitting here. You've dealt with them. I've dealt with them.
I've dealt with them, and actually Austin Key and Arrow really helped me out big time just a year ago. So I'm looking forward to hearing him talk.
Well, when we talk to Austin, I'm going to ask him, not just what they do with Arrow, because it's great stuff they do, and they worked on your place. Mm-hmm. It made a big difference. When I had an issue at my house, he was the first person I called. But what we can all do, this weekend, walking around the house, is there any kind of telltale signs, anything? Because by the time you saw there were termites, it was getting pretty bad.
That's right.
Same thing with me. Even though both of us have homes that had coverage and spray from previous other companies, this is an issue for a lot of people here, and you know what you can do to try to mitigate or prevent issues with termites around here. Listen, we'll ask all those questions with Austin when he comes in. He's a smart guy, does this stuff every day, so we'll check in with him. Also, by the way, what you mentioned this morning, it sounds like the number one story I see trending on Twitter and elsewhere is Brian Williams.
Okay. I thought you were going to say O.J. Simpson.
Now, yes, O.J. Simpson, Brian Williams. that was interesting, but that did not trend the same way I'm seeing this this Brian Williams. So what happened here with this Brian Williams thing? It was a mathematics mistake?
Right. Yeah, so, you know, I troll the Internet.
Yeah, we're talking about Brian Williams, NBC, mm-hmm. the guy who had, you remember, at one time an anchor. He is truly from Central Casting, looks like a news anchor, but he also had made up.
Yes. So
made up some stories.
He said
that were
an RPG.
True. Yes.
Came
taking
real close.
Fire of his helicopter and
yeah.
all that. Remember
and,
that. Okay,
and,
that Brian Williams.
And completely lost his spot on the NBC Nightly News. Well, not completely, because they kind of just demoted him.
And they
kept
brought him
with
yeah.
the company
yeah.
and demoted him. So yesterday, I'm trolling through the Internet.
Yes.
And on Twitter, and a tweet comes up with someone saying, Bloomberg dropped out after spending $500 million
right.
on his campaign. There are 387 million Americans in the United States. He could have spent $1 million on each American rather than on this campaign of his that failed spectacularly. And pretty much everyone that was commenting on that post yesterday morning was saying, are you dumb? $500 million does not equal $1 million for each person in America.
Right.
It was pretty easy to spot
right.
the mistruth there. So Brian Williams, who I think came on at like 10 or 11 o'clock last night, and someone from the New York Times editorial board was on with him.
Right.
And it completely went...
Mara Gay. Yeah, was that right?
And they had no idea. They believed that tweet was true wholeheartedly.
So this, yeah, so that Brian Williams, and he wasn't purposely doing it at this point, maybe. I think he just, you know, didn't get his math right. Let's do the math here. So I'm reading one of the updates here. Now, it depends on, obviously, in your equation, how many people you agree in the American population,
mm-hmm.
but we do have the fixed number of our equation at 500 million, right?
Right.
Okay. So, if you have 500 million spent, and Mike Bloomberg would have given every American $1 million, the figure would actually be $1.53.
Which is enough to get peanuts from the...
Now, listen, it's still pretty heady stuff. If you're enough of a shot caller there, a wealthy person, you could give everybody in the country $1.53. It's still a big deal.
Yeah, and that's 1% of his net worth.
Right. But, I mean, could you give... I mean, think about if you gave everybody in the city of Mobile $1.53.
Uh-huh.
You know, I mean, most people would go broke, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. But it's not $1 million.
No.
Did Brian Williams... Listen, he is going to be set up. He's wearing the Scarlet A for being a liar when he did it before. I don't think... I think this is just horrible math. Which, listen, a lot of us... Let me raise my hand. A lot of us in the communications world, there's some of us that are very good at mathematics. Wasn't my strongest suit.
Mm-hmm.
There's one of the reasons I spent most of my time at the University of Alabama in the communications building and the English building.
Yes.
I tried to stay away. I had to walk past the mathematics building, but I walked very briskly past it.
Same here.
But yes, yeah, is he trying to say I was right or I didn't mean that?
I haven't seen his follow up since, but the thing that gets me is that we're talking about a show on national television.
Right.
And I mean, you and I show up and I'll maybe screen phone calls and produce the show. You go live. We've got two, maybe three people working on the show max.
Right.
There have to be 25, 30 people working on that show and not a one set of thing.
Right. And that's the thing I think that's getting both of us. If somebody would have just said, they come back from the break and said, duh, I'm a dummy. I shouldn't have said that. That was wrong. Obviously, my math was wrong. But it's been kind of quiet.
Yeah.
So Bloomberg could have given every American $1.53, not 1 million. All right, be right back. We're live at the Boat Show and talk to Austin Key next.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Welcome back. Midday Mobile on FM Talk 106.5. And my buddy, Austin Key from Arrow Exterminators, hanging out with me some in the studio. And y'all want to listen up, too, because I know we can talk mosquitoes and those kind of issues. We can talk different things y'all do with Arrow for pest control. But I want to tell a story on you. And the story is that in our home, we had termite issue. Okay. And to let y'all know that I knew Austin, but we were not a customer of Arrows at that point. Actually, I had a termite bond with another company and had some real issues with termites and had it and had it come back again. And so I picked up the phone and I leaned on my buddy the way y'all would lean on somebody who knows what they're doing. And I said, who knows this better than anybody else? And I want to say this, it's been years in the rear view, but thank you. You came because we were pretty freaked out about having termites in our home.
You know, when stuff like that does happen, you know, especially people that don't see it on a daily basis, you know, first thing they want to do is freak out a little bit.
It's scary when you're going, oh my gosh, where are they in the house? You know, you lay down at night, you just picture them eating your house.
Well, and, you know, your home is your largest investment you'll probably ever make.
Right.
So you want to do everything you can to protect it. And when you see, especially if it's swarm season, these swarmers coming out of your wall, first thing you think is, oh my gosh, my house is going to come down.
That's exactly what I thought. I mean, but I'm sure if there was a recording on your smartphone and my call to you, would be like, oh, Austin, okay, there are termites coming out. But I'm not, you know, since I talked about that story on the radio, I am not by myself in this. There's a lot of people that have this kind of issue or fear of this happening.
Oh, absolutely. Mobile is probably the number one area right now for the Formosan termite, which, you know, we have other termites other than the Formosan.
Explain that, yeah, the difference. But like the Formosan is what, and then there's subterranean? Or
well, Formosan is a subterranean. So you have the eastern subterranean termite, which is the one that's native to us.
Okay.
You have the Formosan termite that was basically brought in the late 80s.
Okay.
I think 85 to 89, somewhere in there, I think was the first documented case of the Formosan that was found in our area. So the Formosan's gotten a bad rap because, for one, the colony size is usually three times the size of the eastern colony. They swarm at nighttime, so typically at home, you're at home in the evening and your lights in your house are on and it's dark outside. Mm-hmm. They're going to come to light. So now you're seeing them more. Versus your eastern subterranean termites that have always been here, they just don't have the rap that the Formosan does.
So you're telling me, like, when we see them at night, those are probably more likely Formosans?
Yeah, more than likely they're going to be the Formosan termite, and also it's a seasonal, so the eastern subs typically will swarm sometime in the March to April range, and like we've talked before on the radio, the Formosan is going to swarm usually around Mother's Day, a week or so before.
Happy Mother's Day, Mom.
Yeah, happy Mother's Day, Mom. Hopefully you don't have any flying visitors coming out of your wall.
Okay, so if somebody, and I really do, I mean, seriously, y'all were great and walking us through that process and making sure we got the right treatments and those things to deal with the issue. Now, going forward, this is a big thing for people right now. Maybe thank God they haven't seen this around their home, but they hear me talking or somebody at church talk or somebody at work who's had this issue, and now they're going, I know we did the thing way back, but do we have them? I mean, people sit there and say, you know, what could be in my walls right now? Y'all can come out and evaluate a home.
We can. We can send a home evaluator out, and he can do his inspection that we do on the homes. And also, while that home inspector is there doing his inspection, he's also looking at areas that he could probably tell the homeowner, hey, these are bad ideas or these are conditions that are conducive that you as a homeowner can fix to help limit the chances of you getting the termites.
Can you give us I know every situation specific, but can you give us a Wikipedia entry version of those things that put us at risk?
Oh gosh, you got leaky roofs.
You're gonna pull a big long list
yeah.
out.
How much time do we have? You know, leaky roofs, gutters that are full, you see plants growing out of them, you got firewood stacked next to the house, wood to ground contact.
Wood to ground contact, you've told me that before.
Yeah, so you know, like decks could be a problem, but they're pressure treated wood, and they mm-hmm. say, well, they'll never get termites. Well, they'll only not get termites for a certain period of time, and at some point in time when that stuff leaches out and the wood starts to break down, you will get termites in it. And if you've got that attached to your house, then that's just kind of a highway that you've got from where the termites that are subterranean coming from the ground up to enter into the house.
So they gotta have that root. I mean, they come out of the ground and then they gotta find wood of some sort.
Yeah, they've got to have access. So they're going to colonize typically in the ground. So they're coming back and forth 24 hours a day doing their job.
Yeah, what is that? So this idea that we get this idea that the termites are just always in the house, but they're going back to home base or something?
Yeah, well, with the Formosans do have the capability of building what they call a carton nest or a nest in the wall, which is a secondary home.
Nice. Their vacation house?
They're hanging out with you.
Great.
But they're going to make ground contact, and they have to go back and forth because the workers are actually getting the food source, taking it back to the queen, and then the queen turns it into a protein that the termites can now feed on.
No, so they build basically a trail or a roadway from that place into our home and then back out.
Yeah, you're typically not ever going to see the workers or the soldiers just free crawling like you would ants trailing on a house. They have to build a shelter tube or some type of highway system from the colony to the food source, which is your home.
When people see the dirt things, is it tubes or whatever the dirt or the it's sawdust looking sometimes?
You can call them shelter tubes, mud tubes. It's just going to be a tube or a shelter tube that's going to come up the slab or the foundation, or if a house is on a crawl space, you may see them coming up and down the piers, going back and forth, and they're behind that mud.
So they build themselves like a tunnel or a protected way.
Yeah, and it is for protection because other insects could take them out. So when they build that mud and that mud starts to dry a little bit, it'll harden, and that protects them from going back and forth to the house and keep other insects like ants and other insects of actually getting to them.
So they're building a safe route to go from the ground up into my house.
Yeah, kind of like the Wallace Tunnel.
Yeah. Except I don't have the traffic. We'll see how the traffic moves.
That's right.
So you talk about Mobile. This is no joke. Mobile is if you Google this nationally, Mobile's got, we got a real issue here.
We do. New Orleans had a bad rap for a long time that New Orleans had the most pressure. But if you actually take a step back and look at especially like our downtown area,
mm-hmm.
I mean, it kind of mimics the New Orleans, how the buildings are connected and moisture issues and flat roofs and all that. So, it's bound to happen at some point in time. We surpassed New Orleans, so I think the last study I saw said that Mobile was ranked number one.
That's what I thought I saw, too. That's makes me even more uncomfortable. All right, if people have, God forbid, if they do not have the full inspection and service, I'm not trying to be, but as a person who lived through this, you got to get Arrow out there. Y'all got to get out to somebody's house if they've never done anything on this. It makes me scared even talking about it.
Yeah, I mean, you're definitely better off getting us on the front end. Let us come out and do a home evaluation. It's free.
Right.
So we can come out and do a free home evaluation, give you some ideas of what you can do to fix on yourself as far as protecting your house, and then let us come in and install the Centricon system with Always Active, and then you'll actually have bait in the ground 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Oh, answer a question for us, because I've got those things now. They're around the house. How does that thing work?
So basically the stations are put strategically every 10 or so feet, 10 to 15 feet are around the perimeter of the house.
Okay.
And the way the termites work is they're not going to come in a straight line to your house. So even if they had a tube or something going there, they're still sending out workers trying to find other food sources.
Okay.
So they will find that station that's in the ground, and inside that green station is a bait that has Always Active in it. They'll feed on that bait. They take the bait back to the colony. They feed the queen. Queen dies. Colony dies.
Okay, so it is it's another food source. It's like let's put it in language you and I understand. It's like a Moultrie feeder slinging out corn for the termites.
That's exactly, that's this great narrative, yes.
So they go get that and take that back, except that corn happens to have poison in it.
It does, and they don't know it, so it's not super fast, where if you put out like a liquid or something, if it comes in contact with that, termite's dying.
You want it, because you want that termite to survive a while.
Yeah, you want that termite to have enough time to get it back to the colony and to do its job, and then by the time they realize they got some mm-hmm. bad corn in that Moultrie, it's just too late.
All right. So if somebody doesn't have that at their home now, y'all come out with the evaluation and you can recommend you got to do them this many of them or that many of them. And do y'all do like inspections of the home to see if like people already have an issue?
We do. That's part of the home evaluator's job. He'll come out and actually do a top to bottom around the outside of the house and see what's going on with the picture of what they see on the day that they're there. And then they can work up a detailed plan as far as the Centricon baiting system. But, we also do pest control. We do fire ant control. We do mosquito control. And he can give you a detailed plan just for you on that particular house. Because not all houses are the same. They're all different.
Right.
And they're all going to have particular issues that the homeowner is going to have to face. So that's what our guys do. They come out and they'll identify the situation for you and let you know how to build from there.
So has there been a situation in the past where you come out and maybe the termites are active, but you put those baits, you put the Moultrie feeders in with the poison and then stop the problem? Or do you have to put them in before they ever, perfect world, yes, have them in before they ever show up. I get that. I can guess your answer there. But coming in after people have an issue and put those in? Or
We do that too. So the great thing about the Centricon with Always Active is the station that you see around the ground. We also have the capability of putting that, that same bait in a different type of station inside the house. So let's say you called us out and you had termites swarming, or we identified a situation on the house or inside the house, and we can actually take the station that we have designed. It's called an AG station, or above ground bait, and we can actually attach that station to the location and get the termites feeding almost immediately, and then the process works the same.
Okay, so because people get this idea, man, once they're inside the house, you're never getting rid of them, but that's not true.
No, that's not true.
All right, that's good news for a lot of people.
Well, I think so. You know, the biggest thing is, I'd say if you don't have any type of service plan or contract at all, give us a call and let us get one of our evaluators out there to take a look at it and see what we can do for you.
All right, y'all, seriously, when I had an issue and I was in a panic and the missus and I were in a panic, this is the man we called. You need to do the same thing. So the number, once again?
It's 888-GO-ARROW, or you can find us on the website at arrowexterminators.com.
I'm glad you poked your head in here today. Thanks, man.
Thanks for having me.
Listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 1065. Call Sean now at 343-0106.
All right, welcome back. FM Talk 1065 and Midday Mobile on this Friday. We are live at the Mobile Boat Show at the Mobile Convention Center, day one. Actually, just getting started here. And folks on in, and as you can see, we'll put the pictures up here shortly on our social media platforms. One of our special guests over the next few days here at the Guide's Corner has arrived. He's going to be, he's not going to be very talkative, but you're going to want to see him. He's not going to be, this guest in the Guide's Corner doesn't have a lot to say, but you're going to want to visit with him. Well, maybe the guy that brought him, you'll want to visit with and talk with. Wayne Edgeworth has brought his 175-inch 8-point, and Alabama's top 9-point actually scored to the Mobile Boat Show, and he'll be here at the Guide's Corner with us today, tomorrow, and Sunday. So make sure and stop by and see us. And we are going to be at the, pretty easy to find. Number one, this gigantic buck that'll be looking at you as walk down the hall here at the boat show. But you'll see the FM Talk 106.5 Guides Corner logo up behind us here in the signage. You'll know you're in the right place. And we're right across from where Dolphin Island Sea Lab and the state folks are with marine resources and the touch tank and all the activities for the kids. And not too far down past where the CCA Alabama booth is. And my buddy Blake Lee Ellis is joining us from, I don't know, you walked 30, 35 yards down here. I appreciate it, man.
You bet. Glad to be here.
Hey, it's always fun to talk. We'll talk some more tomorrow, too. I know lots of in-depth stuff, but CCA, first of all, somebody might have just moved here. Somebody might have been under a rock. Somebody might have never heard. What is CCA?
So, easiest way to explain it, the same as Ducks Unlimited is for ducks, Wild Turkey Federation is for turkeys. We are for saltwater fish, so that's our effort, and our goal is to make sure we've got good habitat for saltwater fish, make sure there's reasonable limits and management, and make sure that we can continue to take care of that resource so it's there for that next generation.
You know, there's so many parts of this. People think individual fish, but y'all are thinking species-wide. Mm-hmm. Y'all are thinking, like you said right there, habitat-wide. Mm-hmm. How are we doing here in 2020? Are we on the improving side, the diminishing side from where we were 20 years ago, 30 years ago? What's your take on that?
Well, we're in pretty good shape, I would say, as far as habitat goes for saltwater. You know, a big part of that is going to be the artificial reef program It's one
world
thing
class.
That
I'll say it, world
you,
class.
Yeah, you can go anywhere in the world and not even really hesitate to say that we have the largest and most impressive. We're 20 or 30 years ahead of any other state in the country.
Sure.
And we're just really, really blessed to have what we have.
You know, and that's on the offshore side, and we talk about that a bunch. But I know, you know, some of the bread and butter for CCA is inshore fishing. Mm-hmm. I mean, I remember coming to CCA as a young man, and it was about redfish back then.
Yeah.
I mean, that was the thing. Redfish, like, where's our redfish gone?
Yep.
I can tell you this, that in my life, I tell my children when we're fishing now, I don't tell them about the good old days. I tell my children the good old days are now. Y'all are catching more redfish than I did when I was y'all's age.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, the CCA's made, I mean, this has made a difference.
It has. It has. And that's where we got our start over in Texas back in the late 70s, around 1977. It was a group of guys that were concerned about the lack of redfish and the commercial harvest of them. And one thing led to another where they had some success there. And then Alabama was actually the second chapter outside of Texas. And we were formed
I didn't know that. We
were 1982. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I know it's been around
a year
since
older
I've been
than
a boy.
Yeah. 1 year before I was born.
Well, I'm a little older. I was 10, I think. I was born in 72, but it was second state to be added.
Yeah.
Let's talk about what's going on now. You brought some cool tools here, and this is something I heard about the discussion on the podcast the other day. I know we've talked about it in the past some, and Captain Charlie Gray and I have talked about it on the show, is doing tagging here. Mm-hmm. And people want to help out, I think. I think anglers want to help out. They want to get the science. And if there's a way for us to help out the scientists at the sea lab or wherever, we're all on board. So y'all are with CCA making this possible. Tell me what we're doing here.
Yeah, so this is basically, it's you hear the term tossed around, crowdsourced data and things like that.
Yeah,
This is what we're doing right here. So it's citizen science projects. And so, you know, you can't expect a marine biologist to spend their time in the lab and studying stuff under a microscope and be able to walk out when they need to catch 20 redfish and know where to go and when to go. And so, you know, there are guys like Richard Rutland and Patrick, and you know, they do a lot and give back a lot of time to help them get those fish, but there's no way to get the amount of tags out that we can through a program like this. And it only makes it better that people want to help. They're asking
They're excited about
and,
this.
And we copied this program after CCA Louisiana. They've got a very successful tagging program over there. And so, really, for years, I remember Sam Glass. He's a fly fish. So Sam came up to me at the Alabama Deep Sea Fishing Rodeo right after I was hired five and a half years ago and said, "Hey, when are y'all going to start doing a tagging program?" And I said, "I don't know, but I'm going to do it. I promise you right now, we're going to make it happen."
Right.
And it took a couple years, but steadily we got to it. And about, let's see, March now, so it's been 2 years now. We've had it launched, and basically it's it allows us to get these tags into the fish, and you know, there's a number on that tag. And so
let's walk through this. We're out fishing.
Yep.
You and I go out fishing. We're catching some speckled trout.
Mm-hmm.
We get the speckled trout, handle it properly here, and we can talk about that in future shows.
Yep.
And we get this. We've been trained to do this tagging, which we'll get to in a second. We tag the fish. Fish swims off.
Yep.
Then we're waiting on somebody
Before it swims off,
we've
got to get the tag number. We got to measure the fish, see how long it was. If we can, get a weight.
Okay.
Record an approximate location of where it was caught, and so you've captured that data, and then it's up.
So we turn that into CCA, or how do we turn that data in?
It goes to South Alabama to the Sea Lab.
Okay, go to Dolphin Island Sea Lab,
and it's a very clunky website that was built for biologists to use, and we're working on getting something better.
Okay.
So I continue to promise everyone that I know that's a problem, and we're going to get it fixed, but that's where you go now to either, if you catch a fish, you can go to that website and enter it, and that's the same site that our anglers who are putting the tags out for us go to input the fish when they've tagged them.
Okay, so we put that information in. We put the tag in. Fish swims off. Somebody next week, next month, 5 years from now, catches that fish that's got a tag in it. So there's two parts. You got to get anglers into doing this, but you have to have people knowing what that little thing sticking out of the fish is.
Yep, that's exactly right. That's the second part of the equation, is when that fish is recaptured, where we will hopefully we'll be able to know.
Don't worry, heavy construction going on right here next to our booth. It's okay. So the anglers need to know that.
Yeah. So if they do catch a fish with a tag, if they're not sure if they want to keep it or not, you know, if they planned on releasing it, we'd love to know the tag number and if they can get a link for us. If they were going to keep it and it's a legal in-season fish, we want you to go ahead and keep it, because we don't want the tag to affect anglers' habits, because that comes into the whole data.
You can't say that's a
chosen fish. And and so we don't want that, but whatever, however you're going to normally do it, we want you to do that. But
all right, this is let's say this. People come out tonight. You got a class on this?
5 o'clock seminar tonight, and then Saturday and Sunday at 1 o'clock.
Okay, because y'all are going to be excited. If you're inshore fishermen, love speckled trout, want to help out, this tagging program is fantastic. And we'll talk more tomorrow morning.
Yes, sir.
All right, Blakely Ellis with CCA Alabama. He is with us here at the Mobile Boat Show. Y'all come see us. Ed Rowan joins me next.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Welcome back, and Midday Mobile on FM Talk 106.5, and my buddy Ed Rowan from Taylor Martino back in studio. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks, Sean. Good to see you again, buddy.
And it's good to see you as well, and I know you're like crazy busy representing so many of the veterans out there in the 3M earplug case. I got to believe that many, if not all of our veterans, are aware of this by now, but I would imagine 100% of the veterans that served would want to know if they have a case. That's probably what's going through people's minds.
We are. We're very busy representing veterans, and we're signing a lot of veterans up. But I do think that there are a lot of veterans out there that are holding back and just hesitant to join this case. And I want to communicate to them that they should at least give us a call and get some information about whether they qualify and whether they should join this action, because I can give them that information.
As a Marine, as a veteran, help me understand, what would hold them back? Why would a vet not have called?
Well, I think we've talked about this before, but certainly the mindset of our troops and the reason why, you know, we are so strong militarily in this country is because we don't produce a bunch of whiners in our military.
Right.
You know, we have guys that tough it out, and ladies, and that's what the training is. I mean, the core of the training is to endure difficult things through all circumstances, and the military does that really well, and that continues on for the rest of their life. And so even to this day, when I go to a doctor, I sometimes feel a little guilty about saying, okay, yeah, my back hurts or whatever, because of the training that I had 30 years ago. So that's one of the reasons. And the other reason is just some of the misconceptions out there about this case.
Now, you and I were talking, and help explain this to me, because I don't have the insight you do. The vets can get disability for hearing loss and tinnitus, even with a 0% rating, or they don't have a rating. What does rating mean? How does that work for a civilian like me? What are you talking about?
So this is one of the things I wanted to talk about. Thanks for asking it. So a veteran can have a permanent injury and then get rated through the VA for that permanent injury. And that can be for a number of things. Hearing loss and tinnitus are two of those things. And those are the same injuries that we're dealing with in this case. I have a lot of veterans that come to me that don't have a hearing rating or a tinnitus rating, meaning that the VA says, well, you may have an injury, but we're going to assign you a zero rating. And then I go and I look at their records, their audiograms, and they definitely have a hearing loss and they definitely have tinnitus. So what I'm finding is the VA's rating system is flawed. So we don't go by what the VA says in their labels. We take an independent look at the audiograms, all the medical records, when determining if you have a claim.
Okay, you explained this before, but this is key to it, because there is a benchmark here. I understand this. There's a benchmark for people's hearing when they go into the military, and you have that audiogram to compare it to.
So another cool thing about this case, yes, is the science that goes into determining the case and analyzing the case and the evidence that we have. So when you go into the military, you get poked, prodded, and touched everywhere, and hearing tests, eye tests, all that. So yeah, we know what your hearing's like going into the military, and then, you know, we can track the earplugs that you received. We can track the types of exposure that you were exposed to. And the interesting thing too is that the military studies all of the sounds that come from machinery and weapons and all that. And I've got charts and charts that show how loud everything is. So interestingly, for instance, the most common type of weapon, it would be the 5.56 weapon. When I was around, it was the M16A2. Nowadays it'd be more the M4, but it's your 5.56 weapon. That has 156 decibels. Okay,
you got a chart with this on. You know the decibels.
I know the decibels.
The report from the rifle.
A Humvee is very unlike the Hummer you get down the road at the dealership.
Okay,
Humvee in the military is 88 decibels. To gauge that, that's about as loud as a smoke alarm going off about 5 feet from your ear. So that thing...
Just the engine and the machine. Wow.
I don't think McConnell or whoever sells those suckers would sell many Humvees from the military if they were this loud, but that can damage your hearing. So you've got constant noise, and then you've got the intermittent noises, you know, like shooting. So for intermittent noises like shooting, the human ear, average human ear, can sustain 140 decibels for 28 seconds. So you need that earplug to bring that decibel down below 140.
Because you said it was 156.
156. Now, these earplugs, the maximum they're going to bring them down, the decibel level that is 11 decibels. So if you're wearing these earplugs and you're shooting an M16, if you're an average person, you know, according to scientific studies, you will suffer permanent hearing loss, okay? And everyone in the military has to go through rifle qualification and basic training and once a year. So just that alone, if you're in a Humvee and you're wearing these earplugs, you're going to be right at the threshold of having a hearing loss, because the constant noise, you can sustain 80 decibels for 8 hours a day. So you need to bring that down. If you're going to have 8 hours a day of a sound, you need to bring that down below 80. So if you're in a Black Hawk helicopter, mm-hmm. that's 108 decibels, I believe. So you need to bring that down to 80. So you need around 20-something or 30 decibels of reduction. 11.
You just told me that these earplugs, 11 decibels. That's it.
Literally.
They missed the mark on all three here.
Yeah. I mean, our troops would have been better off literally getting, wax from a candle and sticking it in their ear than wearing these earplugs. I mean, these things should have been thrown in the trash, and 3M should have just gone by their merry way and say, hey, I'll take my $10 billion I'm making on everything else, but I'm not going to risk the troops. That didn't happen. They pushed these earplugs to the government, to the military, like they were the best thing since sliced bread, the latest and greatest, and they were the latest and the worst.
Misses the mark on all these examples. Okay, if you mentioned disability, if a veteran is already on disability, does this lawsuit have any effect on those disability claims?
Great question. Another big issue with veterans is, okay, I'm receiving disability payments right now for my hearing loss or tinnitus, and that's a sure thing. It's not going away. I don't want to risk that by getting into some lawsuit mm-hmm. For an injury that happened when I was in the military. This has been researched and studied, and it is a fact that if you have service-related disability payments, because of, the sound that hurts your ears, suffering hearing loss or tinnitus, this lawsuit, any settlement in this lawsuit will not affect any payments that you're going to get from your disability.
That's probably a question a lot of people have.
Yeah, I added that to my contract. I put a line in there saying, I want you, to be assured that, we will not enter a settlement that would affect your service-related disability payments, because I just want to make sure that the veterans that I'm representing are comforted and know that that is a fact, and they can trust, the actual contract. But it is a fact. This is not going to affect your service-related disability payments if you entered this lawsuit.
All right. When one of the veterans picks up the phone to contact you, you're a Marine. They can speak to you as a Marine. That means a lot. I mean, y'all speak a language that civilians don't speak.
Well, it's just a fact, because when you've been through that, any branch of the military, it changes your mindset. And so there is sort of a hidden communication, almost like a secret handshake that people in the military have with other people in the military. Part of it may be a bluntness. If you're in the military and been in there, you are usually blunt speaking, and you like people to speak blunt to you as well. And I'm blunt. I am. I'm a blunt lawyer. I mean, I love my clients, but I tell them things straight up. Sometimes I try to soften it, but certainly with the military guys, I can kind of get into my mold, and they like that blunt mentality that
speak
I have.
Speak veteran to veteran with them.
Talk your talk, I walk your walk. That's right.
All right. So let's say this. Somebody who has heard us talk in the past but hadn't contacted you. Once again, tell them, I mean, you've laid out these things that might have been some kind of headwind for them. There's no reason for them not at least to call and find out, right? I mean, if they have questions, you're going to answer that.
Right. People in the military are probably, that are holding back, or saying, for whatever reason, it could be one of the reasons I discussed or any other reason why they think this is going to be a waste of time, this and that, whatever. But what's wrong with calling up a veteran like myself, someone that served in the Marines, and talking to me and just getting literally free advice? So you can just call me up and get free advice. And if you don't like how it sounds after that, then at least you've been informed. And everybody should be informed about this, because if you've served your country and you have permanent hearing loss or tinnitus, you deserve to be in this lawsuit. And it protects veterans and people that serve in the military going down the road, because we got to make sure that companies don't intentionally market dangerous safety devices, knowing it's more likely than not going to hurt those troops. They need to be punished, and that's what we're here to do. So I need veterans to join in this case.
All right. Get them the message now, so lest somebody tries this in the future with our fighting men and women. As always, I appreciate the info, Ed, and thanks for being part of the show.
Thanks, Sean, as always.
You can reach Ed Rowan at Taylor Martino Law Firm online, taylormartino.com. That's taylormartino.com. No representation is made that legal services performed are greater than the quality of legal services of others.